according to Matthew, the 22nd chapter. After Jesus begins teaching in the temple, religious leaders try to trap him with questions. First, they ask if God's people should pay taxes to an earthly tyrant like Caesar. Then the Pharisees went and plotted to entrap Jesus in what he said. So they sent their disciples to him, along with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are sincere and teach the way of God in accordance with truth, and show deference to no one, for you do not regard people with partiality. Tell us, then, what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not?" But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, "Why are you putting me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin used for the tax." And they brought him a denarius. Then he said to them, "Whose head is this, and whose title?" They answered, "The emperor's." Then he said to them, "Give therefore to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's." When they heard this, they were amazed, and they left him and went away. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
May be seated, please. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Most of you, and actually as I look in the sanctuary this morning, I'm going to say all of you, know that I am a pretty simple, straightforward kind of guy. And I'm also a sinner. All of you know that as well. And so as I was praying and meditating on a message this morning, a sermon message, the Spirit led me with these very basic words, "Bill, keep it simple." And so hopefully I've done that. I'm going to keep it simple. So today's message is simply one word, and that is love. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, Jesus, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And verse 17, which we sometimes just go quickly past, also says, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world, you and I, through him." God loved us and loves us not because we have something to offer him, but rather because he has something very special to offer us. We are all sinners, and the Bible says that the wages of sin is death and eternal separation from God. But there is nothing that you and I can do that would make us good enough. But God made a way for us by sending Jesus to help us, to rescue us, to live, and yes, to die for us. God willingly gave up his beloved Son to save us from eternal damnation. Not because the world, you and I, are lovable, not real lovable, but because God is love. And he took action. Action. He didn't just speak it to us. He doesn't just speak love to us. He shows us his love in Jesus becoming our sacrificial lamb. Through the death and resurrection of Jesus, the barrier between us and our relationship with God is forever broken. The crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus Christ not only bring us peace and reconciliation with God, but it also brings us into a personal, loving relationship with him. Here's what Jesus said on the last night of his earthly life from John chapter 13. "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." He would repeat this new commandment, this command again in John 15. My command, not my suggestion, my command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Jesus commands us, implores us, he demands us to live the kind of life where we intentionally and sacrificially connect ourselves with other people. That's called relationship. To connect ourselves to feed them, protect them, clothe them, pray for them and pray with them, he commands us to love them. Jesus said that what would make his church stand apart was that his individual followers, his disciples, would follow his example and love one another. It would be that kind of love which would make strangers friends. It would be the kind of love that would even make someone like me, a poor, miserable sinner, sacrifice something of my life for someone like you, and you for me. It would be this kind of love, of doing good, of valuing and honoring someone else, even when we disagree, of acting intentionally for someone else's good, of, to use that old New York Mafia phrase that I learned in 1986 when I taught in New York City, of going to the mat for someone else. I won't go all Godfather on you this morning. Of serving other people, it would be that kind of love, of standing in the gap for one another, of being someone's light in their darkness. That above everything else, we as Christians, the world would know us by our love. And love is a cycle, isn't it? The same love that God gives to you and me, he wants us to offer to everyone around us. The Holy Spirit pours out God's love into our hearts so that we can pour it into the hearts of others. We are to freely give that which we have freely received. Love. We are to love the people God has placed in our family, our neighborhood, our church, our workplaces, and our schools. And this is Jesus' command. A commandment is not optional. It's not a suggestion. We are to love one another. Warts, freckles, bad beard, and all. My bad beard, not yours, Scott. We must be quick to forgive and love as God forgives and loves us. True love. What is true love? True love takes action, not just words. True love is not what we feel or how we think or what we say, but more of what we actually do. God has gifted us with the capacity for love and to love because we are created in his image. Love is the greatest power in the world. It rejoices in truth and it protects the weak. Love lends a helping hand to all those in need, in misery, in depression, or in grief. Love forgives and it offers reconciliation. Love breaks down barriers. Love breaks down barriers, especially those relationship barriers that often arise from our past experiences and trauma. The hurts, the betrayals, the wounds and rejections, the disappointments that leave us somehow feeling like we're not worthy, like we're unable to give or receive love. Love is greater than all the spiritual gifts, even greater than faith and hope. Love puts others first. Love is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. From 1 Corinthians chapter 13, maybe this will take you back to your marriage vows, some of you couples. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. Love is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. True love feels your pain. True love rejoices in your joy. True love handles hardship by focusing on hope and faith. It can tolerate pain and suffering without complaining or getting angry. True love is content and thankful of its blessings. True love is not proud or boastful. It is humble enough to admit its own mistakes and strive to correct them. True love forgives. It does not bring up past wrongs in accusation or retaliation. True love does not return evil for evil. It doesn't place us into a place of shame and blame and humiliation. True love is thoughtful and concerned of the welfare of others. It is not selfish, nor is it inconsiderate. True love is truthful. True love protects you and wants you to be safe. True love is optimistic. It sees a bright future with you and for you. True love does not easily give up. It's persistent. True love eliminates fear and anxiety and insecurity. True love acts with humility. True love is faithful. It will not crumble under pressure. True love covers a multitude of sins, and it seeks reconciliation. True love is respectful and tolerant. It endures with others who often are difficult to deal with. And true love is allowing your life, my life, to be complicated by someone else. And let's admit it, that's a hard thing to do. Allowing someone else to complicate our lives, because let's face it, we want a simple, free, and easy life without complications. Wouldn't it just be easier to build a big 20-foot privacy fence around our home? But Jesus said that his church would be known by radical, head-turning, eye-popping, heart-warming, hair-raising, hand-reaching, jaw-dropping, go-the-distance, never-give-up, barrier-breaking, always-ready-to-help, sacrificial love. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. 1 John chapter 4. And Paul, in my favorite letter of his in Philippians chapter 2, he talks about the unifying force of love when we are like-minded and like-spirited. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in the Spirit and one in mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. Loving others will not always be rosy, rainbows, and unicorns. Being love means forgiving, accepting, and honoring all those around us. From Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 4, get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ, God forgives you. When God's love flows in us, we can love others as God loves us. We can love unconditionally, no strings attached. We can love freely without expecting anything in return. I'd suspect that we're all familiar with the old phrase, if you're going to talk the talk, you better walk the walk. Easier said than done. God has commanded us to walk in love. It's the lifestyle of you and I, the children of God, to walk in love. And when we walk in love, our patience can increase for one another. When we walk in love, we are identified with Jesus. When we walk in love, we carry God's Spirit with us to each other. Joy and peace are benefits of walking in love. You experience joy when you love one another. When you walk in love, you'll only see the best in others. Please pray with me this morning. Heavenly Father, I believe and know that you love me. Your word says I can love because you first loved me. Father, I thank you for your love. I come to you today, this day. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and with your divine love. Help me to grow in your love, and let me share your love with all people around me. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. And let's stand now, as you're able, and sing, "Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love."